Hi everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Universal Narratives podcast. This season, our theme is career choices for women. We would like to explore as many career choices as possible and learn more about the different fields that women choose, why women choose them, and also hear some success stories and learn about the challenges that some women face. It's my pleasure today to meet with Dr. Hadiga Amer. To learn about her journey as a scientist. Welcome to our podcast, Dr. Amer.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's great to be here.
So I would like to start by asking you to introduce yourself to us. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background, your education, anything that you think might be relevant or interesting for us. I'm sure you have a lot of interesting things to talk about.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you. So a little bit about me. I grew up in Spokane, Washington. I did my undergrad at Eastern Washington University in biology pre-med. I then went to the University of Pittsburgh. I ventured out to the East Coast. It was my first time going down there, and I loved it. So while I was there, I did my master's in microbiology and molecular genetics. And then I worked there for a year. And then after that, I decided to come back to the Northwest, specifically to Seattle at the University of Washington to work on my PhD. And I completed that 2 years ago in pathobiology. That was the degree. And basically, I studied infectious diseases and the causes of various infections and how diseases manifested in the body. And then I worked as a postdoc in the same lab I did my PhD work in for almost a year. And then after that, I started a position in industry as a scientist at Sana Biotechnology.
That's great. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about what you're doing right now and maybe provide more details about what exactly you're working on?
Sure. So right now as a scientist, this is kind of like a beginner position. Right after grad school, I was always interested in industry and I wanted to work in that area. And so the current position I'm in at Sana is we specialize in creating engineered cells and engineered, we basically engineer genes and cells to tackle various diseases. Mm-hmm. And so as a scientist, I am responsible for carrying out various experiments, participating in various projects, delivering the results in time and relaying that information to the group as a in general and then to the company in various events. And so it's really nice. We our team was pretty small. I was the first person to join the team under my my manager's leadership, and then we expanded to about 4 or 5 people now. And I'm loving it. It's really nice. It's very similar to academia in that I just kind of do what's right, what I need to do for the day. I don't really have to go back and get guidance on certain things. I can just move on with the projects and just deliver the results and always collaborate and get advice from others. So I really feel like I'm kind of in charge of my work and I really enjoy that. That's the general work that we do. We do a lot of lab work lots of meetings and things like that. So it's very a basic laboratory position, but it's also very fulfilling.
Yeah. How is that compared to what you were doing in Pittsburgh? Because I know you lived in Pittsburgh for a few years and you were always in the lab and you were working on like different type of things. Do you want to tell us if this is kind of similar to what you did previously or is it different?
No, it's quite different. Mm-hmm. So my experience is in virology, and while some of the work is related to that, I'm also learning a lot more techniques. I'm doing things I've never done before. Okay. Selma, I remember when you used to come, you'd watch me, streak plates and you would smell the bacteria and you would complain. Sedna used to hang out with me in the lab a lot. And we're not doing that as much anymore. It's very new work. I'm always learning something new. I'm always talking to people to get advice on how to do things. I'm researching, how to do these things. So I really like it in that respect. Like I'm translating some of the things I learned in the past, but I'm also learning something completely new. So, you know, the type of work that we do is called CAR T cell therapy. So we're basically creating cells that would tackle various pathogens in the body to basically replace the dying or like the infected cells. Okay. So it's really fulfilling in that I can be able to contribute to something that would translate into the medical field as medicine, yeah. as therapy. And so that's kind of the reason why I really joined this company. It's an amazing company that has a really good mission and goal in life. And so that was kind of what drove me to be where I am today, is my desire to help others through medicine.
That actually takes me to my next question, which was, what are the factors that motivated you to pursue a career in science? And you mentioned you always wanted to help people, but are there any other maybe factors that kind of like made you more oriented towards science besides wanting to help other people?
Yeah. So basically what you mentioned, my desire to really contribute to people's health and alleviating their pain or their suffering. I would always yeah. watch videos when I was little of, you know, people in third world countries specifically, and yeah. how diseases are so rampant there. And I really felt like I wanted to be able to contribute in alleviating these diseases. Specifically, I studied HIV as a yeah. undergrad, a graduate student. And I knew that was a very common disease that affected so many different countries. It's a pandemic, essentially. Yeah. And I wanted to be able to shed some light based on the work that I do into how we can alleviate this disease, how we can tackle it. And so although my work as a PhD student was just a tiny little dot in a huge, you know, bubble of work that could be done, I still feel like it's still beneficial. Every little bit can help. But yeah, so one of the reasons that I wanted to join the field is because of that. I saw people suffering and I wanted to be able to contribute. Mm-hmm. Part of me wanted to go back and do an MD PhD, where you get both your medical degree and your PhD. Yeah. Just because I wanted to also be there in the clinic and helping people, you know, at the bed. You know, with the pain that they're going through, and looking at the medical system right now, I feel like there's so much that could be changed and improved. Yeah. But you know, we're past that, and I'm very happy where I am today. I'm still able to play a big role in creating therapy that would help individuals that are affected by diseases. And so, one of the major driving forces for where I am today is one of my undergrad mentors. I was working in a lab and I was talking to her about my career choices. And she said, you know, why don't you consider graduate school, like a PhD? And at that time, I never even considered that. And yeah. I was like, wow. She's like, you could do your PhD in biomedical sciences, where you can still study diseases, do medically related yes. work, but also deliver something to the medical world, like as in medicine. Yes. And it just struck me that day. And I was like, wow. And so I began doing research and I fell in love with the idea. And that's yes. how I started my journey in master's. And then I, as a PhD student in this career as a scientist.
It's amazing. It always starts with a mentor, somebody that yes. inspires you, right? And then yes. The person kind of like shows you your potential and what you can do. And then you can take it from there. So if somebody exactly. is interested in pursuing a career similar to yours, what are the steps or the process that they have to go through?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. So if we're thinking of undergraduates right now who are interested in becoming a scientist or anything related to careers in industry or academia, mm-hmm. the number one thing you need to do is begin doing research in your undergraduate laboratory. And I'm surprised nowadays I'm seeing so many high school students that are doing this, where they're immersing themselves into labs as volunteers to gain research experience. Yeah. So that's the most important thing. You need to volunteer in labs. If it's not a paid position, go ahead and volunteer and just try to gain as much experience as possible. Yes. Learn as many techniques as you can. You need to develop your creative thinking, kind of your independence as a scientist and also as a leader. And so yes. I would suggest immersing yourself in a lab. and also reading up about, you know, what's going on around the world with respect to science and medicine, specifically the area of interest for that person. Reaching out to people and networking is also very important. I used to hear that a lot. And I don't know about you, but I was always a shy person. I still am. And networking is intimidating for many, many people. Mm-hmm. And I realized with COVID, you know, it doesn't always have to be in person. With COVID, I was able to actually network a lot with people via like Zoom or phone calls and just learn about their careers. And so one thing that I thought was very beneficial was doing informational interviews. And so I did many of those with people from different backgrounds in science to learn kind of what was the area of work that I was interested in. And so finding people on LinkedIn, for example, or people at the university you're at or wherever, just kind of begins the road for you or helps you understand kind of what's out there. And then these people will lead you to other people that could, you know, eventually benefit you somehow in giving you advice or finding you a position that's relevant to what you're interested in. And that's how it actually worked for me. Mm-hmm. I went to a career fair, and those are also very helpful, where I met with someone at the company I worked at. I work at now, and they introduced me to the company. I was interested in the work they do. And then we set up an informational interview later on. And then eventually that person just thought of me for the open position that popped up at the company. And so I'm really grateful for that interaction, that networking opportunity. And so always use these opportunities to network with people and learn about what they have to offer. And, you know, reading about all these positions is very helpful. There are several books, which I can talk about later, that can help in that area as well. But I would say networking, researching, are the most important things to begin doing.
And I think these are two things that researching and networking are things that we, everybody was doing that prior to COVID, but like with COVID, it kind of like facilitated everything. Yeah. I feel like people are communicating more virtually now, and this idea of interconnectedness, like everybody everywhere is connected all the time, that you can actually, I know in October, I actually taught two classes in Indonesia. Being here at home in New York, and I was able to connect with 200 students in Indonesia. It's just amazing.
And it's incredible.
Yeah. So the opportunities that we have right now and the realities, I would say, that COVID created for us, because we always thought communication should be in person, but now conferences are virtual. You can teach classes virtually. You can do almost everything from home, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there is an excuse not to try to reach out to people and talk to people now. And the other thing would be research. Like with COVID, everybody is more interested in reading about science and what's happening. There is so much content now that you find online, and you find a lot of documentaries, and you find a lot of articles. So even if you don't believe something, you can always go and research it yourself. There is so much information available for us.
It's overwhelming. Yeah.
Yes, I know. Sometimes you're like, oh my God, there's so much I can learn and I can do. Now, I think everybody's realizing this right now, because we have more time to think about these questions than before, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say that in industry, if your audience, if there's someone in interested in industry positions, what really matters is what you understand in the lab. Of course, your ability to think creatively and on your feet, and, you know, working in a time pressure manner, or like in an environment where you need to deliver things in a timely manner. What really matters is what you know how to do in the lab. In academia, it's different. You need to have publications, you need to have grants. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different kind of avenue. And so if anyone's interested in industry, which is what I was interested in, what you really need to develop is your laboratory skills, your knowledge. And those are the things that everyone's looking for, like employers, when they're hiring. They want to be able to hire someone who knows how to do the things that are listed in the job description, or who's excited to learn, or is receptive to learning how to do these things. And so those are the things I would recommend people do and develop if they're thinking of industry positions.
That's great, because, you know, there is always this misconception that when you have a PhD, you have to like just get a university position, for example. And there is a lot of people now who are not working in university positions, who are just doing other things, hands-on, just to help develop the field they're in, even in teaching, for example. There is a group of professors who are focused on university teaching, focused on publications and academia, and there is clinical professors who are focused on developing teacher skills, being in the classroom, developing curricula. So it's really interesting to hear that, because I think it's like across the board in all fields, you can either do this or that. And I'm very glad that you highlighted this piece as well.
Yeah.
So how would you, why would you, my question would be, why would you encourage other women to pursue a career in science?
Good question. Believe it or not, I was actually very surprised to see that there are quite a few women in science. And so when I joined my program, we were 4 women and 2 men. And every entering cohort, it was usually 5 women, 1 male, 1 man, or something like that. So there were quite a few women that were entering our program. And when I would go into labs, I noticed there were so many women in the field. And so I was really happy and excited to see that. Yeah, it's great. We women found their niche. But yeah, so I would say I'm really happy to see that there are a lot of women in science, but that's something we still need to further encourage, because I know women of color or women from various backgrounds may not have quite an opportunity that's as easy as someone here living in the U.S. And so I would like to really encourage all women from all backgrounds to really consider science, because it's so rewarding. It's so fulfilling in that when you're in the lab and you're able to discover something that no one else knows about except you, you find out a result, or you do an experiment for the first time and it works. And it's just such a rewarding experience, knowing that you're one step closer to your goal. And so I think in science, it's that kind of that field that delivers that, you know, that dopamine and that excitement that you need. If that's the type of career that you're looking for, where you're always excited, you're always on your feet and always thinking hard, you don't want like kind of a routine, science is really the field for you, because there's always going to be a surprise. And when things fail, that's so normal. And so that's what we call science, you know, things failing. If it works from the first time, then you're incredible at it. And so we're used to always failing in science, and, you know, you just have to get back upon your feet and keep at it. And so if you're resilient, you're persistent, you want to be, you know, surprised every day with something new, I think it's a really fun and incredible field. And specifically, if you really want to contribute to medicine and therapy and really see all your hard work kind of manifested in front of you, it's a really great field for that. I always feel like every day I go into the lab, I'm excited. There's something to look forward to, something new. I love being in the lab, working with my hands, you know, and so really consider it if you don't like to kind of do something that's, you know, more of a routine, and you want some excitement.
I love that. I love the motivation. This is very motivational. Maybe I can, you know, consider science. So Khadija, I'm sure there are some challenges as well. Just as there are, there is a lot of promise with science, there is some challenges. What are some of the challenges that you personally faced in the process of becoming a scientist?
I think one of the challenges I think that I face, and I know others have faced as graduate students, is being able to kind of meet the needs of your department and their goals and requirements, and being able to achieve what you want to do as well. Sometimes being able to communicate with advisors and mentors can be a challenge. Getting people to be on board with what you want to do, or your graduation deadline, things like that. These always can be a reason for dispute among others and faculty members. And so it's always important to hold your ground, be confident, and always find supportive reasons to kind of speak to why you want to do something. So a lot of times, you know, I would face a situation where someone is not interested or wants me to develop something further, like in the lab or in the work that I do. And there could be opinions from other people that are, you know, different from that person. And so you have to really be able to go and meet all these people face to face and understand what their point of view. If this person is not allowing you to kind of do what you think is best for your project or for your goals, you really need to be able to sit and understand them, because in the end, they know what's best for you and they know more than you do, especially these mentors and advisors. And so it's really beneficial to be able to sit with people from various backgrounds, learn from them, and understand kind of where they're coming from, because you can learn something in the end from that. But you also need to be able to confidently relay what you want to say and what you want to achieve. So those are some of the challenges I encountered, is communication with other people, being able to achieve what you want to do. Another more kind of broader challenge I faced is as a Muslim woman, I also faced challenges in that people would, you know, discuss my religion as it pertains to science and the work that I do. And I always welcomed questions about religion. I'm always happy to answer them. But I felt like sometimes people thought that my religion could hinder my success in the future. And I disagree with that. I feel that people should believe whatever they want to believe and still be able to achieve what they want to achieve. There should be nothing that holds us back from achieving what we want to achieve. Some people have opinions. Yeah, some people have opinions and I respect that, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't be voiced or explained in a way that could affect the other person's work ethic or, you know, morale. And so those are some things that I encountered. But luckily, you know, people are receptive to learning and understanding, and I'm able to kind of overcome some of those challenges. But I would go to conferences and people would, you know, talk about religion and things like that. And so it's something that was a bit of a challenge, being able to explain my point of view while respecting theirs. Because a lot of times I felt the other person was really kind of forcing their point of view on me. Yeah. And so that was one of the other challenges I faced. But other than that, I think the challenges are minimal. You know, the basic challenges anyone would face in any career, you know, getting things done in time and, you know, juggling multiple projects, things like that. But you learn to overcome all that. It's always going to be beneficial for you to experience these challenges.
Definitely. And, you know, like when you're talking about, I'm very curious to ask you this question now. How many other people like you with a headscarf, or minorities, or like people from minoritized backgrounds, I would say, or people of color, have you seen in your field? Do you mm-hmm. feel like you're the only person with a headscarf? Because it happened to me a lot before. And sometimes mm-hmm. I feel like I am responsible for answering all the questions. I am responsible for, you know, dispelling or all the misconceptions and the stereotypes about who I mm-hmm. am and where I come from. So mm-hmm. let me ask you this question. How does it feel to be the only person? And are you the only person mm-hmm. that always has a headscarf and was yeah. always the center of these kind of conversations?
Yeah, I will say I was the only person in my program and in many programs that wore a headscarf. And so that was really rewarding for me, in that I stood out in a way where I had to explain things to people, or I was happy that I represented my religion and, you know, women in general in the field. And so that was never something that I felt ashamed or embarrassed about. In fact, it just motivated me even more. But I was the only head covered woman in my program for like 2 or 3 years. And then my friend joined. She's also Egyptian. And she wore her headscarf, and, you know, it was great to see more women representing the field, more Muslim women in the field. And so I've noticed since then that there are multiple women in various universities that are yeah. covering their hair. And so they're not very common, I will say, but they're there. And so it's really nice to be able to see that. We definitely need more women out there from various backgrounds, various cultural backgrounds, religious backgrounds out there, because every opinion matters.
how would you encourage women from various backgrounds, from minoritized backgrounds, different religious groups, people of color, to, you know, be scientists? And why is that important?
Yeah, I think everyone needs to be represented in science, because if there's ever a field that has more of one gender or more of one group of people that's represented more than the other, it will really skew the decision making and things that would happen in the future in the field. And so if you think more globally, specifically in industry, if we have only a small population of people represented there, that could, these people may not be able to understand the challenges or the cultural background of countries and the challenges that they go through. Like if there's a disease in a specific country and you're not familiar with their cultural practices or religious practices, you may not be able to deliver that therapy effectively or understand kind of the barriers to delivering it. And so if you have people representing various countries, various religious backgrounds, various races, you'll get all these people's voices heard, and that could really affect the decisions that are made at the leadership level where industries are delivering medicine and figuring out how to distribute it. So every opinion matters, and every person who's interested in science should really work hard to achieve those positions and really have their culture or their country represented, because you never know, you know, what could happen when you're in that position and you have a key decision to make. And your background and perspective will definitely be valuable in the global scheme of things.
Yeah, I definitely agree that representation is key. And I feel like when you have a diverse team of researchers or educators in any field, you have everybody comes with a very unique perspective, and it kind of like helps you see things differently and consider, as you said, limitations or areas that maybe people would not typically pay attention to because they're not accustomed to this kind of cultural background. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the same for educators as well now, especially in like urban cities where our students are from like everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And the teachers do not always represent where the students come from. Mm-hmm. And I have seen a lot of change in that. Like I've seen a lot of teachers of color now in education in our schools, which is great, because you really need students to have role models, people who look like them and can understand their culture and their first languages and their backgrounds and appreciate that. And it makes it more culturally responsive, and more encompassing, more inclusive of everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. When you understand the needs of the people of your country or your religion or whatever background you're coming from, you'll be able to passionately relay that information to the board or to whoever's in charge and be able to deliver their needs. And so it's really important to have everyone represented and included.
That's great, Khadija. My last question to you would be, and that's a question I ask everyone, how can we as professionals everywhere in the world learn from your experience, and what can we learn from your experience? What's one thing that you think we can take away from this very interesting, very engaging episode?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one thing that you can take away is that you have a direct role in being able to help someone in science and being able to deliver something that they need that's life-saving. So for example, the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine, and they came out for the COVID, it was really earth-shattering. It was really exciting for us scientists to see science being manifested in real life as a vaccine, like so quickly saving millions of lives around the world. And that's what I want to do, that I want to be able to participate with these people to create something in such a short amount of time, to be able to change someone's life instantly. And so I think in science, you really have the opportunity, you have the firsthand chance to be able to go out there and do something for the greater good of everyone. And I encourage everyone, you know, interested in science to really consider it. There are so many different positions in science. You could be a scientist, you could be a professor, you could be a medical liaison, there's so many different things you can do. And so I would recommend, if people are interested in learning more, there are several books you can check out. One book I read was called Next Gen PhD. This was really helpful for graduate students who are considering multiple career options and wanted some guidance on what to do. And so that's one thing I would recommend people read. Another one is called What Color Is Your Parachute? And this isn't necessarily science focused, but it's more about creating goals and figuring out what career option is best for you. Like, what kind of environment do you like to work in? What do you want your employer to do for you? And so it has a checklist of questions that you answer, and you basically learn a lot about yourself and what you need in life from that book, and then be able to make a career decision after that. So those are two books I'd recommend people.
Do you mind sending the titles to me so I can post them with your bio? Yeah. So whenever I post the episode, I'm going to make sure that I post the books as well.
Definitely. Yes.
It's great. Thank you so much, Khadija. Is there anything else you want to mention or discuss before we go? Any final remarks?
My pleasure. No, I think you asked some great questions, and I hope I was able to provide some guidance to everyone who's interested in science. And if anyone wants to reach out to ask further questions, I'm available on LinkedIn, or I'm happy to chat with anyone and guide them. But yeah, definitely reach out to people, do informational interviews as much as you can. LinkedIn's a great source. And there's also many courses you can take on LinkedIn to learn more about careers in science and how to develop your skill set, things like that. And so go out there and start researching in a lab and volunteering if you're interested. And hopefully you'll be able to get a position that you're interested in science.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I'm going to also link your profile just in case anybody wants to contact you, or if anybody is interested in just learning more about what you're doing. Thank you so much, Khadija.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you.
I hope we can talk again soon. Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you.